Hashem Mishpatim is generally known for the Mishpatim. Mishpatim are statutes. The first three quarters of Mishpatim are a bunch of laws. Just a ton of mitzvot about slaves and servants, and mostly much of tort law. We did this last year. Much of damages, nizikim, is found in Parsha Mishpatim. But there's some narrative at the end of the Parsha, and some troubling narrative at the end of the Parsha. So we're going to read through it and analyze some of the troubling aspects of it and see if we can come to some level of understanding, as we always try to do. What? Kaf Gimel Kaf. Okay? So the last pasuk ends like that. You just see, it just like stops. Lord Tvashel Gdiba Chalev Imo, like it also throws in kashrut. You know, you're familiar with, it just like, it's like a potpourri, a hodgepodge of mitzvot from literally all over the place. Then the Torah comes back to the story. And the question we're going to have to deal with and really struggle with is, what do we do with this? And even more interestingly, where is this in the chronology of the events? It says God. Pasuk Kaf. Hinei Anochi Sholeach Malach Lefanecha Nishmorcha Baderech. Behold, I am sending an angel before you to guard you on the way. Ulaviyacha LeMakom Hazeh LeMakom Asher Chinoti, and to bring you to the place Asher HaChinoti. How do you translate that? If it was, and then I
prepared,
what?
I prepared,
right. How would you say that I prepared? Asher Hechanti.
But this is Torah language.
Oh, so it doesn't matter. Hachinoti. Okay, fine. Then I prepared. So I'm going to send an angel before you. Hishamer mipana b'shma b'kolo al tamerbo. Guard yourself from before him. Listen to his voice, or like hearken to his voice. Al tamerbo. Lahamer, don't rebel against him. Ki lo yisa l'pishechem pishachem. He will not suffer your sins, for my name is in his midst, in his item. Ki im shamoa tishma bekolo, va'asita kol asher adaber. If you listen to his voice and do all that I say, va'ayavti et oivecha v'tzarti et zorerecha, then I will enemy your enemies and litzror. Litzror is, help me out here.
Adversary.
What?
Adversary.
But what's the verb? What's the verb? To tzor et zorerecha. To adverse your adversaries?
I'll be an adversary to thy adversary.
Right, I'll slam you. Okay? That's basically what it means. Okay? It's the verb of adversary. I will...
A keychain is a tzor
v'avtecha. Tzor is... So rare, but it's Haman is called, so rare ha-Yehudim. Right?
Tzara.
Tzara, right. Right, the afflictor.
Very interesting.
Ah, why this week? What are we referring to?
All the news that's going on with Syria. And
this week any different than any other week?
Yeah. Yeah. It's
unbelievable. Like, I just feel like Ein Chadash.
What's that?
That's
it's
that? I always feel like there's nothing
new.
The same
level of seriousness.
What? Syria?
I'm saying he also said he wants to go into space. So,
oh.
He wants to check us, he wants to go into space, he sent fake monkeys in.
He did send monkeys into space. The trick is, it's very easy to send a monkey into space.
No, but now
you know it's much harder?
It was really
much harder to get it back. Right, they didn't worry about that. They didn't get the monkey back. But, you know. Sadly. Okay. Hi, welcome. Okay. I think there are green chairs.
There are green chairs also.
Right. On the right hand side.
That door.
Yeah.
There.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Afflict your afflictions. Ki elech malachi lefanecha, Kaf Gimel, verse 23. For my angel will go before you. V'haviyachal hamariv achiti v'aprizi akanani achivi v'ayibusi. And he'll bring you to the land of all those nations. V'hikchaditiv. L'hakchid, another word for slam them, Karen. Hikchaditiv.
Cut them.
Okay. Okay, he will destroy them. He will cut them. Lo tishtachaber le'elohehem v'lo ta'avdeim v'lo ta'asekim ma'aseihem. Do not do like their. Don't bow down to their gods. Don't worship them. Don't do like the actions of those nations. Ki hares tiharseim. You shall surely cut them off. L'harosotam, destroy them. Shaber tishaber matzevotehem. And you shall surely destroy their altars. Va'avaretem et Hashem Elokeichem. And you will worship Hashem your God. Ubeirach et lachmecha. And they will bless your bread and your water. And they will remove, and machala, I will remove a sickness from your midst. Pasuk Chavav. Lo tiyamach mishakela v'akara be'artzecha. There will not be any
woman whose children were killed.
Children were killed or barren in your land. Thank you. Emispar yamecha amalei. You will live out to your end of the days. You'll live your full lives. Et eimati ashalach lefanecha. I will send out my fear before you. V'hamoti et kol ha'am asher tavo behem. And I will destroy the entire nation into whom's midst you will come. V'natati et kol oivecha elecha orif. And I'll make all of your enemies an orif. What is an orif?
A neck.
A back. The nape of the neck. What does that mean, Karen? You don't even know what it says?
They'll make all thy enemies unto thee their back.
Unto thee their back.
They'll turn their back.
Right, meaning you will be
behind you.
Okay.
Oh,
sorry, you never tested. They will turn their back on you. Meaning what? Why will they turn their back on you?
They
run away. They don't want anything to do with you. Chavchet. V'shalachti et hatzira lefanecha. Hatzira is some kind of hornets. Right, hornets. It's flying bees. In fact, the Midrash says that these are flying bees. I don't even know if Rashi says it. They're flying bees that go and attack the eyes of your enemy. It goes into one eye and they all die. Okay, it's poison bees.
Poison ivy.
like the Hunger Games. Weren't there poison bees in the Hunger Games? Oh, you didn't see that?
Oh.
Okay, your children did. Okay. V'kirshat achivi atakanani v'et achivi lefmilfanecha, and they will destroy. They will kick out chivi and kanani and the chiti from you before you. This is why I can never run for politics. Because if someone's going to find this on the internet and say, oh, look at Rabbi Spolter said, and it's all, I'm just reading the Torah, you know what I'm saying? It's terrible. Lo agarshenu mipanecha
b'shana achat. That's the only reason.
That's the only reason, right. I will not. Yeah, that's right, sure. Lo agarshenu mipanecha b'shana achat. I will not kick them out in 1 year. Penti ha'aretz shumama, lest the land be desolate. V'raba alecha chayat tasadeh. Rather. Me'at me'at agarshenu mipanecha. I will move them out slowly. Ad asher tifre, v'nachalta et ha'aretz. Until you expand, until you multiply, and then you inherit the land.
What? So we need foreign workers.
What? Sounds like that, doesn't it? That's exactly what it sounds like. It sounds like it's not good for God to kick out all of the inhabitants of the land in one fell swoop. Rather, it's a gradual process.
Because
we'll do nation to nation at a time.
Otherwise,
the wild animals will come and overtake you, and overwhelm you, and destroy you. Okay? V'shati et gvulcha miyam suf v'yad yam plishtim u'mimibar anahar. Then your land, your gvul, your border will be from yam suf to the land of the plishtim, yam plishtim, from the desert until the river. Which river?
The Nahar
Prat. Nahar Prat is, anybody know Nahar Prat? The Euphrates River. Anybody know where the Euphrates River is? From the desert of Egypt to Iraq. Thing. Talk about Greater Israel. What? What's that? Maybe he does need to be afraid. Okay. Ki atein biyadchem. What? That's why they built. He built a fighter plane. You see this? They Iran. They published. They put out that they built this fighter plane. They showed footage. But all the experts, after seeing the footage, think that it's a model plane that they were showing, not the real plane. So they built like they're flying this model plane. Is that just very interesting? Okay. I will place the nations of the land in your hands, and you will drive them out. Lo tichrot lahem v'lo lohem brit. Do not establish covenant with them. Lo yeshivu ba'artzecha pen yachtiu otchali. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they cause you to sin. Ki ta'avod et Eloheihem, ki hiye lecha lemokesh. You will worship their gods, and they will be a stumbling block to you. So the second half, we can understand, and we appreciate, and we know, or we sort of know. I want to focus on the first half of how this whole thing started, and what the structure of the leadership was, back on Pasuk Chaf, because it's ideologically troubling, and also troubling in the text itself. We're going to start with the Malach. Hine anochi shaleach malach lefanecha. Chaf. Chaf gimel chaf. Lachem et Eliyahu Navi. Right, that's different. That's a different story. That's from the Navi. Right. Behold, that's from in the future, in the end of days, God will send Eliyahu Navi, right, to announce, to proclaim that great day. This is not this. They're in the desert, and God says, behold, I'm sending an angel before you to guard you on the way, ulhaviyacha l'makom asher achinotin, to bring you to the place. What's that? Ah, well, let's see. First of all, this whole thing raises a huge problem, which is, where do we find such an angel? Is there a record of such an angel being sent to lead the Jewish people? Secondly, wasn't it a punishment? Why do you think it's a punishment?
Ani v'lo malach, ani.
It says God says, "I am not an angel. I am not a seraph. God Himself." Okay. Thirdly, who have the Jewish people start to have to listen to? Now, why does it sound like a punishment? What does God say? Chav aleph, hishamer mepanav ushma bekolo al tamer bo. Listen to Him. Don't rebel against Him. Why? Ki lo yisa lepish achem. He has no patience for your sins. Kishmi bikirbo, as opposed to, it seems like. What'd you say? Ah, it's not. Well, it's a question. Well, what about Moshe? All of a sudden, why is God all of a sudden saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Oh, I'm sending you a malach, and listen to the malach, and how does the malach sound?" Right.
Very strict.
Very strict. Harsh.
Impatient.
He's going to lead you into the land. Don't cross him.
Everything with Moshe isn't.
Yeah, it's like the anti-Moshe, doesn't it? I mean, what happened to Moshe? What's going on here? Moreover, the end of the section that we just read ends with the whole idea of don't worship idols, don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, much of the Torah is about not worshiping idols. Not worshiping anything that represents deity that isn't God. And here comes along God and says to Moshe, I'm sending you an angel, right? Don't worship the angel. Just listen to whatever he says. Do what he tells you. Don't cross him, because if you do, he'll slam you. The only thing is the danger. You're right. No one's worshiping him now. Ah. Now there's less danger if the angel takes the so. Let's ask a very simple question: what in the world is going on? What happened? Did some angel miraculously appear to Moshe, and now Moshe takes his orders from this angel, and the angel tells him, "Okay, we're going to go here," and the angel is in charge, and Moshe is just like, kind of, I don't know. Is that what happened? That's not your image. That's not the impression that you have, right? Except, of course, we're reading from the Torah. So what is this angel? What's that?
Instead of the Anan, maybe.
Instead of the Anan? Like, we have this image, like, the Jewish people are being led by the clouds of glory. Moshe is the conduit to God. There's no place for this angel. Where is he? Where did he come in?
Is he in Moshe?
In Moshe. Ooh.
Is the metaphorical?
What's that? Is it?
Metaphorical.
Okay, then what's the purpose of telling them? What does it mean?
Meaning he's literally got the spirit of
Hashem in literally. I often, when I was in Semicha, I wanted someone, i.e. me, which I'm never going to do, to develop this idea of what was Moshe. Because Moshe himself, you open a Pandora's box that we're just going to sort of peek in and not go into. Because it's a tremendously fascinating idea. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah goes to great, great lengths to explicitly demonstrate that Moshe Rabbeinu was
a human being.
We record both his birth, natural birth of two parents,
and his death.
Except doesn't he make a switch at some stage? Because we hear that, okay, about his birth and everything, and that he can't speak and everything, and yet he expounds Torah, where, I mean, the whole of like Devarim is impaling the Torah open.
That doesn't bother me. That's okay. A human being could do that. Wow, a second. Right, you got more than that. The problem is, what do you do? That's not a problem. That's very human. You can be a very spiritual leader. What do you do with the fact that he went up to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, didn't eat, and didn't sleep?
What about this glow he had?
When he was
born.
Karan or Panav. What about when he was born? Yeah.
He was born. It was like the whole world, like lit up or something.
Very good. And the midrash need to know Mahul. Very good. Very good. You understand? So there's a
big problem to make him into a deity.
Absolutely a problem.
That, one of the principles of faith.
Correct.
That's why it says don't worship him.
It doesn't say don't worship. Would it say don't worship him?
No, they're
not. They're not. Yeah, you understand? Like this, like everything, like every any issue you'll discuss, there's a spectrum between which we're trying to figure out what is Moshe. On the one hand, you can't say he's 100% human like everybody else, because most of us, you know, if we go out for a 40-day trip without food or water, we would die. On the other hand, you have to say he's human. He's not spiritual because he was born and he died, and the Torah goes up makes explicitly. You know what I'm saying?
You've got to worship Hashem, your God, all the time.
Yes, you have to worship Hashem, your God, and not the angel.
Yeah.
So why have an angel?
So that's why I'm saying.
What's the purpose of the angel?
This is beginning. I mean, I'm thinking if I'm Israel, this is mm-hmm. beginning to cast a doubt in my mind. If Hashem's saying this to me, and then Moshe is going to go up to Har Sinai, and Hashem has said to me, an angel is going to lead me into Eretz Israel, and Moshe is not coming down, I'm going to start thinking, okay, this is what he was talking about.
The question is, let's ask another question. When was this said? When did this happen? So we'll start with Rashi, because Rashi, I think, is probably one of the more difficult Perushim based on the Midrash, and then we'll go on from there. Look at Rashi for a second. It's a very short Rashi. Rashi on Kaf. Hine Anuchi Sholeach Malach, says Rashi, Kan Nitbasru Sha'atidin Lachto Ushchina Omeret Lehem Ki Lo E'ele Bekir Becha. Here, it is foretold that the Jewish people are going to sin. When? What sin? Chedah Egel. Ushchina omeret lehem kilo e'ele bekir b'chan. God is telling them, and I'm not going to go into your midst. You're on your own. I'm going to send my angel. What is this a reference to? This is a reference to, in Ki Tisa. Okay? They made the Egel. They sinned. One second. Blah, 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 blah. One second. Very good. Oh, it says it over there? Very good. Turn to Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. I'm like, wow, we're really impressed. Okay. Hold your place here. Turn to Perek Lamed Gimel for a second. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. We'll go back a little bit.
Pasuk Gimel, let's see.
Yeah, we're going to get to the Gimel. Okay. Chapter 33, verse 31. As we know the story, the Jewish people worship the golden calf. God sends Moshe down and says, get them out of here, I want to get rid of them. Moshe goes down, destroys the lucha, destroys the golden calf, grinds it up, makes them drink it, they kill 5,000 people in the camp, etc., etc. Okay? And now we're Pasuk Lamed Aleph. You got it? Lamed Gimel 33, Lamed Aleph. Vayasha Moshe El Hashem Vayomar. Moshe returns to God, goes back up the mountain and says, Ana, Chata Ha'amazeh Chata'a Gedola. Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph. 33, chapter 33. My bad. Lamed Bet, Lamed Aleph. Thank you. I apologize. Lamed. My bad. You said Lamed Gimel, Gimel? Oh, you're right. My bad. I apologize.
You're okay.
Wow, you're all on the ball. Lamed Aleph. I see what happens here. My chumash says Lamed Aleph, and the top it says Lamed Gimel, so. Lamed Bet, Lamed Aleph. My apologies. Vayasha Moshe El Hashem. Now we together? Good. Vayomer, Ana, Chata Ha'am Hazeh, Chata'a Gedola. Vayasu Lehem Elohei Zahav. They did a terrible thing. They made a golden calf. Ve'ata in Tisa Chatatam. Famous words. And now, if you shall bear their sin, if you forgive them, great. Ve'im Ayin, Mechenina Mesifecha Shekatavta. Erase me from the book that you wrote. Wow, how do you say that to God? I don't know, but okay. Vayom Hashem el Moshe, mi asher chatali emchenu misifri. He who sinned to me, I will erase from my book. Va'ata lech nechei ta'am el asher dibarti lach. Go lead the nation el asher dibarti lach. Meaning, get them out of here. Get them out of here. Hine malachi yelech lefanecha. My angel will go before you. Ubiyom pakti upakarate lehem chatatam. And when I'm ready, I will make them pay for what they did. Vayigov Hashem et ha'am asher asehu et ha'egel asher asa aron. And God, megefa, he decimated them. Pasuk Aleph, next part. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, lech alei mizeh.
Get out.
Ata v'ha'am asher ha'alita me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's like so much fair to Moshe. You know, like when I read this, I'm like, what do you want from Moshe? You and the nation you took out of Egypt. I always think when I hear this, like, I'm like Moshe thinking,
Hashem had nothing to do with
me? Like, don't you remember at the bush when I, don't you remember at the bush when I said, you know, no thanks? And you're like, no, you're going. Me? You know, anyway. El ha'aretz asher nishbati l'Avraham nitzak l'Yaakov l'emor l'cha asar ha'cha etinan, to the land that I promised. V'shalachti lefanecha malach, and I will send before you an angel. V'geirashti et haknani ha'emori ha'chiti ha'prizi ha'chivi v'ayibusi. Does this sound familiar? This language, it's identical in a sense. El eretz zavat chalav u'devash, to land milk and honey. Why? Ki lo e'ele bekir becha ki am kshe orif ata pen achelcha baderech. I can't be in your midst. If I am in your midst, the next time you tick me off, boom, you're all gone. So you know what? I'm going to stand back. I'll send you. You guys go. Fine. I'll send you my rep.
My emissary.
Exactly, my emissary, my angel. And he'll deal with you. And, you know, if you sin or whatever, okay, you know, you'll be punished, but it won't be the ultimate destruction of the entire nation. I can't do it. It's too difficult for me.
Sorry, it's too hot.
No, I can't.
Sorry, can't handle this kid. Why don't you just deal with my child?
No, I can't. God, the idea of God is emet. Emet means you sin, you pay. Of course, emet, on the other hand, is incredibly beautiful and powerful. If you don't sin, emet is the ultimate truth. You have God in your midst. So the question is like this. Do you want to take the risk and accrue, of course, the benefit of the emet in your midst? Or, if you take that risk, they're going to sin. And then the result of that sin, it's forthcoming. It's going to happen. We can't keep playing this game. I'm God. I have to be me. You understand what I'm saying? Meaning, it's not that God says I can't deal with them. God is saying, if God is in their midst, then they have to accept the consequences of what that means when they rebel.
But it sets up a prototype for failure. That's very discouraging. Or is it that he has an understanding that they will rebel? That it's human nature and he doesn't want to set them up.
Why is he setting them up for failure? Aren't we destined to failure? Really? We're not perfect.
It's like the image of the trash with the creation of the world.
Yes, exactly right.
He first made an or a certain kind of light in the world, right. And then he said that the world couldn't handle that light, so he condensed it and saved it for the tzaddikim. And do you know what I'm talking
Your question
about?
Really is going back to the yes, exactly.
The same thing that's happening here in the Supreme.
I'm agreeing with you. The Yael's question is going back to the issue of creation, the whole issue of creation, the Eitz Hadat Tov V'Ra, and that it was supposed. There's this. Basking in the glory of God, that a human being, that a man of flesh and blood, that a physical being, on the one hand, we want to reconnect to that light, but our physicality prevents us from doing so. And for this reason, we were kicked out of Gan Eden. You know what I'm saying? We were kicked out because the directness would become so immediate and the punishment so great that God said, you can't function in this way. You have to function in a physical world. You have to reach to God. You have to try to get back to that spirituality gradually. So here, almost in the sense that God like turned us up to 11, and we're like, no, we can't handle 11. Let's go back down to 7. You know what I'm saying? That they're still in your midst, but there's an intermediary. There's a conduit. It's not immediate.
What?
What does it sound like?
It sounds like they kind of work in tandem.
Yes.
Moshe and Malach.
Right.
Wasn't that what the Jewish people were trying to do by building a golden calf? Making
That's exactly the problem. It's unclear. Well, I mean, there's all kinds of different opinions about the golden calf, what they were trying to do. But they were, for whatever reason, just having God in your midst, you know, we want Mashiach now, we want the Beit HaMikdash, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody thinks, like, you know, glory, and it's, of course, what we want. But there,
Are we ready for it?
There's a lot that goes with that, obligation and responsibility. You know, we talk about the Beit HaMikdash. This is exactly what the sins of the Bayit Rishon were all about. You can't just have the Beit HaMikdash. Oh, we bring Korbanot, oh, everything's great, and not think that sinfulness will bring a result. But you have to get back to the point where you want Hashem in your midst. We want Mashiach now means I want to be in a place where if Hashem's in my midst, I can handle that. I can deserve that. I won't suffer the consequences of failure if I bring Hashem back into my midst. Not so simple to build a Beit HaMikdash. You know, that's what Chazal talk about this. You can't just build a building. Right? You want to build a building, you better be meritorious and worthy and ready for that building and all that it implies. Correct? You know, and if you're not?
The building is just a building.
The building is just a building.
Empty.
And you don't get it.
And the land in which that building is found is just a land.
And Hashem is not in the Kirby.
Right, and Hashem is not the Kirby. And you will leave.
Empty.
You will be kicked out. How do Jewish people react to this news?
Well, they both
call me a cannot sleep in Israel.
Pasuk Bet, let's read again. We're back still on Lamed Gimel. V'shalachti lefanecha malach. I did that. We're back on... back in Kitisa. Still in Kitisa. V'gerashti etakinani amari yichiti b'rabi tzizi. Okay. El eretz zavat chalab v'dibash ki lo ele b'kir b'cha. I can't do it. Ki am she'orev atah pe'anacha lecha b'derech. Pasuk Dalet. V'yishma ha'am et hadavar hara hazeh v'yit abalu. They heard this terrible thing and they mourned. They did not place their adornments. Nobody has any idea what this means. There's a zillion Persian names. You can look them up. Okay? They did, each one did not place his jewelry, his adornments on them. They mourned. They were upset. They were sad. What do you mean God's not going to be in our midst? Say to the Jewish people, Atem am kesei orif. You guys are so stubborn. Don't you understand? If I'm in your midst one moment and you sin, I'll destroy you. Take off again this adornment from upon you. I don't know what I'll do. I'll think about it. Okay? It said, and then the story goes on. We're not going to do the whole story there. What happened in the end? Who relented? Who won? Did God relent and return to the midst of the Jewish people?
Yeah.
He did. So then what's the thing about the malach?
Hashem uses
malach. So then the thing about sending the malach ends up being a threat. Ends up being,
ultimatum.
An ultimatum that ultimately God relented and did not send the malach. God said, okay. Like, it's almost, it's interesting. So what happened? So we had our cake and we eat it too. Why? Because God said, if I'm in your midst, I will destroy you. And we said, no, we want you in our midst. And we had God in our midst. And then we sinned and he didn't destroy us.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
he's God. Only God can be mevater on his own emet. That's exactly. Not all of us, the entire Jewish nation. God wanted to destroy the entire Jewish people.
So that there wasn't, he didn't renege completely.
No. God said, you know what, I'm not going to be in your midst. I had enough of this. I'm out of here. I'll be over there. I'll send my angel. He'll take care of you.
But then what right.
And then, so did that happen in the end?
No.
Why not?
Because
they didn't want it. Of course they didn't want
it.
Because why? But God says, you do want it. I'm telling you, I'm doing what's best for you. Because if you sin, it's going to be bad if I'm in your midst.
Right.
And they sinned.
It wasn't bad.
What, was it bad?
It wasn't as bad.
Like, I don't know. They weren't destroyed.
Those that were actively involved were destroyed. Like, there were different levels of involvement.
But he wasn't just talking about those actively. He was talking about all of them. All of us. So that now we can turn back to... Yes. Yes. And after God forgave them or said, I won't destroy them all, God said, well, we got to stop this from happening again. And this was the solution. And the solution wasn't enacted. Because we want our cake and eat it too. We want to say, God, no. We want you here. And he says, but it's going to be bad if it goes bad. We don't care. And when it goes bad, what do we say?
We care.
Sorry. Forgive us.
We're still trying to
but he did forgive them, but they still didn't get to enter Eretz Yisrael. So were consequences.
Wait a minute, what makes you...
Yeah.
The consequences were just less extreme than death.
So according to Rashi, turn back now to Mishpatim.
Wait a minute, what makes you say that he relented and didn't send this malach?
Mostly the Midrash.
Okay, because I'm looking, let's say, looking forward.
Yes.
Okay? Let's give an example of something that happened right after they moved into Am Yisrael, right after they got into Eretz Yisrael, uh-huh. Okay? And Hashem told them not to take from the spoils.
No, one second.
1 minute.
Yeah.
Someone took from the spoils and did what he wasn't supposed to do.
They started dying.
Hashem didn't immediately punish. What happened was then they sent an army to another city, and then that didn't work. And so Hashem is like indirectly informing them that there was something wrong going on among them.
Okay.
Perhaps the Malach is this idea of Hashem's indirect involvement as opposed to a more direct involvement, whereas before Hashem would have said to Moshe, they saved, or Hashem would have immediately sent to Magifah.
Was there an angel or wasn't
more
there?
More natural way.
Was there an angel or wasn't there?
Who's
tangibly.
To say there wasn't?
So you're saying there was?
Yeah.
Well, Rashi says there wasn't. Okay. Let's look at the Midrash. I'll read you the Midrash. Back on the clock. Okay, they're going to sin. I mean, you mean in the end, in Kitisa, who's to say that it didn't happen?
Yeah.
He's saying that the concept is...
After... Well,
it's
I understand what you're saying. After the story, interestingly, what does Moshe do to... Like, God does forgive them. You give them Midrash HaRachamim, do appear. You ever know what I'm talking about? Like, the turkey
attribute? Right, because he's trying to convince Moshe, maybe you're not only Emet, you're also Rachamim, and you can...
Correct.
What you want the malach to do. With
correct. And God, it seems very clear that they get their luchot again and that God forgives them.
Right.
The implication is that the Mishkan would be outside of the camp. The Shekhinah would not be inside of the camp.
Right.
When they build the Mishkan, where is the Mishkan?
In Shiloh. In Gilgal.
No, in the Midbar.
In the Midbar, it's in the middle.
It's smack in the middle of the camp. And the Shekhinah comes in and the cloud enters. It's hard to say that that's a malach.
Okay.
It seems clear that this plan, the angel plan, was not instituted. Because if it was instituted, Moshe would be out there. The Mishkan would be somewhere over there, right? And there'd be like an office, the office of the, you know, angel of the Lord. And if you have a problem, go turn to him, and then maybe he'll ask God for you. But that's not what happens in the end.
Maybe the angel becomes emissary at times.
One at a time. Yeah, sorry.
I'm saying maybe the angel does stay, but he becomes the emissary in times where Hashem should exact his emet and annihilate the people. And in those instances...
Then God leaves?
He withdraws and the
Hashem is there.
Comes.
God is there. God, the Mishkan is there.
No, not that he leaves. That he withdraws and makes place for the malach.
See, again, you want to have... Doesn't that sound like you want to have your cake and eat it too? So like, God, we're going to sin. So if you do me a favor, you go over there and we'll talk to that guy. You know what I'm saying? Right?
No, but I'm just saying from what Rina's saying, that it's a more indirect kind of...
Of interaction
when they're sinning, because Hashem's interaction...
You can't do
severe.
That. If you want God in your midst, and you want the benefit of the Shekhinah, and you want the clouds of glory, and you want all that stuff, right?
You do want that.
You want that, right?
But you can't always control yourself.
One second.
When you need to rely on Hashem's rechem.
You want to behave the way He wants you to behave. You want it.
It's like, we're like our kids, right?
Yes.
Our kids want us around, and they want us around, except of course when they want to go on the internet, and then they want us not to be around. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like when they want to play computer, then do me a favor, go do your work over there, and I'll be over here.
But they still know that you're around. They just for that moment.
But it doesn't work that way. Yeah, God forgave us.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. The goal is to bring us. This is the essential right. This is it goes back to Gan Eden. This is the essential. The goal. I think the guide of the Torah is to bring us to this place where, ever closer and ever closer and ever closer. Absolutely. Isn't that the whole Torah?
That's the goal.
Yeah.
What? Why is it depressing? It's inspiring. What?
To
to reconnect with God. Gan Eden is the connection with God, and we spend our whole lives, yeah, doing mitzvot in an attempt to recreate the connection.
I don't see it. I really don't see it as frustrating or overwhelming. It's a.
It's a mitzvot are all about.
Yeah, it's a lifelong challenge. And it doesn't really end. We don't get all the way.
The present part is, ugh, if they hadn't sinned, then.
But there is no if they hadn't sinned.
I'm just saying that's what the depression, if you want to get depressed about it, that's just saying, if they hadn't done that, we would be in a different place now. Like, so we're struggling to go back.
I would say it this way. Our humanity, our frailty, is what makes the challenge meaningful. Our failure is our inability to be perfect. Is what makes our successes so great. And what makes it, you know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying?
What if we wouldn't have sinned? Then there would have been Gan Eden as their home, right?
What do you mean? If we wouldn't have sinned, the Chet
HaEgel? No.
If Adam HaRishon had not sinned, yeah, it would have been a very short history, I think. I mean, you know, it would have been a different existence. We don't really understand
but
the existence
no
of God and Adam.
That wasn't a possible reality.
But then why
it seems to have been the plan. Doesn't it seem to have been the plan? Wow, we are so far afield. It's not even funny.
It's
like a totally different class. What's that?
Then Hashem created something that he knew wasn't realistic. Therefore, man had no choice but to sin.
Yeah, that's the problem. How come?
That's
the same problem over and over again. God created man. Man sinned. What was God thinking? God, you know what I'm saying? Why did God create a flood if he created the world? And why did God give us the Torah if he thought we knew that we would sin? Why did God give us Eretz Yisrael if he knew that we would sin? Can I say it this way? God hopes for the best. He always wants us to do the best.
The eternal optimism. He's here to catch us when we fall.
What?
He wants us to reach
it's not going
to
make her happy. You understand? Nothing we say is going to make her happy, and I understand that. Right? That's the struggle.
Because the original... That's what I said. The original prototype.
Unless you want to say, unless would it make you happy to say that God, yes, he created that perfection for us to strive for, knowing that we would fail. Is that better?
You wouldn't that's be fine. Who you were if you didn't have to go through your struggle.
Yeah.
Ibn Ezra says, yeah, yes, amen.
Oh, we're going to get to Ibn Ezra. We haven't gotten there. Right. Okay.
Well, you want to argue some more?
Just throw it in the pot.
Okay, let me just read the Midrash. Okay? Hinei Anochi Shaleach Malach. The Midrash, you don't have the Midrash. It's on the Rashi. See, Rashi is so short. But you have to... we're back on Mishpatim. Sorry. Okay, the Rashi on... Don't you have this one, Rashi? You don't bring it anymore? You didn't even buy this one?
I do have
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay.
But I love different things.
That's fine. Okay. Hinei Anochi Malach. So the Rashi is like tiny, 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 but you have to go to Mishpatim, you have to go to Kitisa, read that whole parsha, and then understand the Midrashim are based on. So the problem with Rashi, it's a big problem. The problem with Rashi is, what in the world is this doing here? Here, Rashi says, Nitbasru, God is telling them, oh, by the way, just so you know, it's not going to go so well right now. Like, they just got the Torah. Poor Moshe is on Har Sinai. He's getting all these amazing mitzvot, shiloh, you know what I'm saying, kashrut, and nezikin, and shomrim, and eved, and marriage, and you know what I'm saying. Oh, Moshe's like sucking it in, and like, oh God, give me more. Oh, hold on a second, Moshe, I just want you to know, it's all going to go to pot. You know, I just want you to know, I'm going to send an angel. That's what Rashi says. Here, kandit basra, don't get so excited. Because you're about to get kicked out because there's going to be an angel and you're going to be second in command. Like, what is this doing here? Why is this here? Rashi doesn't really explain that answer. He doesn't say what the purpose is. He doesn't address that question. Says the Midrash, Amar lo Moshe, said to Moshe, Malach ata mishaleach imi? You're sending an angel? V'kikach hayu hatna'im? Tna'im? Those weren't my working conditions. When I signed a contract, I didn't make that deal. Right. V'chi lo amarta, didn't you say, at the burning bush, v'ayrei lahatzilo miyad mitzrayim ohalato, al tibet anim lo malach. What? Who said anything about an angel?
He didn't read the
footnote. Right. The Midrash is quoting Moshe back in Kitisa. V'ata omer, and now you say, hine anochi sholeach malach lefanecha? Im ein panecha halchim, al ta'aleinu mizeh. Says God, if you're not in this, don't bother. I'm not coming either. Okay. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to read it. Chayecha, by your life. God says, my God, Moshe. But God can't say my God, so he's saying Moshe. Panai yeilechu v'hanichot ilach. You win. Beruach HaKadosh Tzovachat. And Ruach HaKadosh cries out. V'asher dvar melech shilton, shomer mitzvah lo yeda davar ra. Sha'atzadik gozer, v'akadosh Baruch Hu mekayem. God says, you win. God says one thing, the tzaddik says something else. What are you going to do? You got to do what the tzaddik says. I.e., this whole section of Hinei Anochi Sholeach Malach was a threat that God said to Moshe in response to a sin that did happen. And when it happened, Moshe said, you know what? Forget your threats. That wasn't the deal. You said you're coming, you're coming. And God said to Moshe, what? He's a tough guy. Unbelievable. And God said to Moshe, you know what, Moshe? Okay. You win.
Didn't put up much of a fight.
No, he didn't. It's interesting. It's just fascinating.
Because he give wants and take. Him to want him.
Yeah.
And for Moshe to make a comment like that, it shows that they want him. Well, Moshe's a representative of the Jewish people. He said, "Lo, he said, I'm not coming." You mistranslated when you read it out loud.
Yeah, I did. Al ta'aleinu mizeh.
Don't right. take us out of
that's right. Moshe is clearly
speaking as a representative of Jewish people.
Right. Agreed.
And proof positive from their reaction in Kitisa that they mourned when they found out that this malach was coming.
Correct. It's just fascinating that this whole section according to Rashi never actually happened. Hinei Anochi Sholeach Malach never happened.
And Moshe gave him a threat as well.
Right. I mean, according to the Midrash, Moshe was punished for that.
Almost like equal parties to the table.
He didn't go into extra for that.
What's that?
What was the punishment? Mm.
The punishment was that Moshe's name is not mentioned in Parshat.
Ve'ata titzaveh.
Rashi says right there, why ve'ata? Because Moshe said, you erase me from your book, and God said,
okay.
He who sinned from me, I will erase from my book.
And
you don't
yet,
talk to me that way.
Wait a minute. And yet, back in Kitisa, that might have been the punishment that Moshe got according to the Midrash, but it says, one second, that the natural consequence of that conversation with Hashem in Pasuk Yud Aleph of Perek Lamed Gimel,
yeah.
He came down from the mountain, everyone saw the Amud HaAnan outside the Ohel Moed, they bent down, v'diber Hashem al Moshe, panim al panim, pasher yidaber ish al reyehu. That perhaps that changed their relationship even further.
Made them even closer.
That made them more on equal footing, perhaps. That Moshe, maybe in the according to the Midrash, was punished, but according to the text of the Torah, if you want to
accept, and then what's the response of that? And then what did Moshe do when he came back to the camp?
He had to cover his face.
He had to cover his face. He had to separate from them.
But this is all supporting that idea.
This is fascinating. Yeah, back to the malach. Let's go back to the angel. The angel, that's one interpretation of the angel. The angel never happened. Okay? That's the midrash upon which Rashi is based. There are other midrashim. Who is this midrash? That's a midrash. Rabbanan Amre, ze malach Michael. It did happen. When did it happen?
Who said that?
I'm reading the midrash.
Oh.
But it also appears, the other parshanim bring it. Remember, when you look at Yehoshua, when you read Sefer Yehoshua, Yehoshua is about to cross into the over the Yarden. He's going to take on the leadership, and he goes at one night. And what happens? Who appears to him? Some angel appears to him. That's exactly right. That the angel did appear after the death of Moshe. Okay, and the angel came and did lead the Jewish people because the angel said, "Ani sar tzva Hashem atabati. I am the heavenly minister." Okay? The Midrash continues. Yeah, Michael's coming back in the times of Mashiach. What? Michael's the angel of water? How about you? I don't know. Okay. I'll give you a couple more that'll make you less happy. Okay? Or make me less happy. Darshei Rishumo and other Rabbanim say, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Malach, does it mean? Hem luchot habrit hanutnim ba'aron hakodesh. The luchot of the brit of the angel. Who said it's metaphorical? Somebody said metaphorical. I think Yara said it metaphorical. It doesn't really mean an angel. Rather, it's a luchot habrit. Why shemi bikirbo? My name is in its midst. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The name of God is in the luchot habrit. Davar acher. I'm just giving to another midrash. It's a Navi. Why? Because the Navi is Ki'ilu Amalach. All of these things raise a problem. If you read the text literally, you have an ideological problem. You have a textual problem. You have a factual problem. If you read it metaphorically, what do you have? A language problem. Why does God say, I'm sending an angel in your midst, if it means the lucho? Do you, I'm sending a Navi, really, say a Navi, say
no.
Whatever. Why do you say an angel?
No.
It's a stretch. It's a stretch. Yeah.
No.
You need to switch to Mashiach because I need
one second. Where's the pasuk that it says about when Hashem tells Moshe that Aaron is going to go with him and Aaron is going to speak with him?
Aaron Yenivyecha.
Yenivyecha, and there was something else. But where is
a malach? Didn't call him a malach.
I thought that maybe that they also called that he also
after the snare. After the snare.
Oh, it doesn't say Netaticha Elohim leParo. Aaron Achicha Yenivyecha.
Okay.
But a malach is a messenger, and I don't think it has to be an angel. I don't think that you're. I think you're hung up on a
malach means malach.
Translation.
Malach means malach.
No,
okay.
It doesn't. Look, it doesn't always Vayishlach with Esav, you know,
yes.
Malachim.
Correct.
Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim.
Unless of course you, think that's literal too.
No, but literal is a malach is a messenger. It's an emissary. It's an extension of. It's a representative. It doesn't. I have
so
no.
So if you read this, Harim Hinei Anochi Shaleach Malach Lefanecha. Who's God talking to?
The
Moshe or the Jewish people?
Because okay. I think that a Navi is also called a malach.
Yeah, he is. You're absolutely right. Okay. Anyway, says Ibn Ezra. Do you have Ibn Ezra? There's a long Ibn Ezra on this. Kaf. Hinei Anochi. Amar Hashem the Moshe. So who's God talking to Moshe? Ibn Ezra on Kaf. Shiomar Gamzel Yisrael. That you tell the Jewish people. Ki im yekablu kol hadvarim v'hamishpatim v'tchilat atem ri'item. If they accept all of the statutes, az yivim el haaretz. Then God will bring them into the land. Meaning the whole purpose, what's this doing here? Going to Ibn Ezra makes great sense. Sure, the Ten Commandments everybody likes. What about all the guts of the Torah? Eila ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifneim. What about all that stuff? Eved Ivri, and Nizikim, and Shabbat, and Kashrut, and all those mitzvot. That's why God has to come along afterward and say, oh, by the way, all the things I said about going into the land, etc., etc., you have to accept these statutes as well. V'ravim hishtabshu bazeh. A lot of people, hishtabesh, got confused in this matter. Yesh omrim ki ha-malach hu sefer Torah. Some say the malach is the sefer Torah. Acherim amru shehu aron habrit. Upirshu v'shama b'kolo hakatubo. Some say it's the aron, etc., etc. I'm going to skip a little bit. Why? V'chol eile divrei ruach. Divrei ruach means all of these things are
air.
Empty. The whole Torah is full of it, etc., etc. I'm skipping because we can't read the whole thing. He says, I'm telling you, it's really an angel.
Who says that?
Even Ezra says that. Yeah, you're surprised, right? Yeah. Why is Rina surprised? Even Ezra is what's known as a Pashtan, literalist in the text. But Rina, if you take a literalist in the text, what does it mean here? Well, you don't have to be meaning. Right.
Literally
means right. Someone who's not a literalist is going to reinterpret it metaphorically, figuratively.
Right.
Based on the midrash,
this is
right.
One of
okay.
Those cases.
Okay.
Where he uses the midrash, he accepts certain midrashim as Kabbalah.
As Kabbalah.
You have to Kabbalah meaning not Kabbalah, but Kabbalah like you have to accept that.
Right. If you want Kabbalah, you go to Ramban, which we're going to do. What?
Is
so Michael?
Doesn't have a
sign. Yeah, they don't. So, but he's always seems to be the main one connected.
Isn't he the war protector?
You're this is over my pay grade. I don't know. Okay, look at Ramban and Chaf. Look at Ramban. Okay.
He tells us
Ramban and Chaf.
He says, "Look at Ramban." Yes. A lot of the Mefarshim.
Who says to look at Ramban?
He does.
Ibn Ezra.
He can't. Ramban lived after.
Oh, you're a footnote.
Editor.
You're a footnote guy. Says
your editor
to
tells you to look at Ramban.
You have a good chumash.
Yeah.
He quotes Rashi.
In the future.
Ramban quotes Rashi, and he says on it, "V'yesh lishol hareg zerah hi lo nitkayma." According to Rashi, it never happened. So why would the Torah record a conversation that ultimately never happened? It's a very good question. I'm going to the second paragraph. I don't know if you have it. The second, the Hatshuba. It starts with Hatshuba. What's that? The conversation happened, but the threat. Why would the Torah report a conversation about a threat of an event that never came true? What? What? What does it teach you that you didn't learn from the text later on?
Hashem doesn't always keep his promises.
His threats, his negative threats. What did it add to the conversation? Because later on, remember, we read later on the whole discussion about the angel. And they got upset, and Hashem said, forget it, whatever. What's the point over here? Hatshuva b'zeh, the Ramban says. The answer about this, l'fi hadar hazot. One second.
Where are you now?
Ibn Ezra
still?
Ramban says, okay. The answer is it didn't happen in Moshe's days. But after he died, then it did come true. So Rashi would say, that's true that it didn't come true then, but Moshe became the rep. When Moshe died, then they needed an angel that happened in Yeshua. Skipping to the next paragraph, he says, V'alderech ha'emet. What does he mean when Ramban says Alderech ha'emet?
It's Kabbalistic.
That's right. Alderech ha'emet. Hamalach shehuftechu bo bekan hu hamalach ha'go'el. This is the redeeming angel. Exactly, that malach. That's exactly right. Asher Hashem Hagadol Bikirbo, whose great God's great name is in his midst, Kibiyah Hashem Tzur Olamim. V'hu she'amar Anochi Ha'el Beit El. I am God. Ki Haderech HaMelech Lishkon BeBeito. Because it is the way of God to dwell in his house. V'yikre'enu HaKatuv Malach Ba'avur hayot kol hanhagat ha'olam hazeh b'mida ha'hi. Says Ramban, angel here means God himself. But God is infinite. So in the way that we relate to the aspect of God, we call that aspect of God an angel, a malach. Ki shmi b'kirbo. My name is in his midst.
But there's nothing, it's fine, because there's nothing separate from Hashem.
That's right.
Hashem is one.
So when God says, Hinei Anochi Sholech Malach Lefanecha, Lishmarcha Baderech, he's not saying, I'm going to send something external to me. Rather, what he's saying is, I'm going to send a part of me of which you can relate. It isn't something separate from me, says God, says Ramban, it is me.
So then why wouldn't Moshe want it?
That's a different malach later on. So he says, that's this case. This is here. Later on, God says, then that's not going to work. I can't myself. Meaning, it's troubling on the one hand and difficult for us to comprehend. Because we, in our, how should we say this? In our logical, literalist minds, God has there's no tangibility to God. Right? There is no such thing as, how can God take the form of an angel that represents the essence of God? Right? God is everything. But according to Ramban, Ramban wasn't troubled by that. That God manifests himself through the representation of this malach, whatever that means, who represents the presence of God in their midst. Some of you will have trouble with this, and some of you will be nodding saying, yeah, makes sense. You understand? Meaning, because it's a tfisa. It's a perspective.
Angel isn't immortal.
How can you put God into a vessel called an angel? It's a big problem. It's not a simple thing. So you're happier with this. Yeah, that's fine. I don't have a problem. I mean, I understand what you're saying. If you look at the Nitziv in HaMikdavar, he accepts the Ramban's interpretation. Okay, one second. But he says, I got to explain to you what he means. He tries to explain, because it's difficult to explain. Teida. No. B'chol zeh demachuta derakia kemalchuta de'ara. The malchut, the monarchy in the heavens is like the monarchy here. He's giving you a parable, analogy. Hamelach shomer et amo mikal tzar ve'oyev. The king guards his nation from every enemy. V'gamru ele malot machzaram, and gives them what they need. V'hakol oseh al pirov ayadei anashim mimunim al kol prat b'shem hamelach. So the king says, when the prime minister says, we have to take care of the price of cottage cheese, He doesn't go and raise the price of cottage cheese in the grocery store. He tells his, you know, the Sar HaOtzar, or whatever Sar is in charge of that, whoever fought to get that job, says, go take care of the price of cottage cheese. Okay? Achen, yesh et ratzon o'shan chutzah, sh'amelech mitalech ba'atzmo, b'kerev amo. So there are some times when the king actually goes and does it himself. Ve'osel milchamtam, and fights their wars. U'mikom akom, nonetheless, ein ha'melech holech yechidi la'olam. The king doesn't go by himself. Ela tamin holech liyemino. He always has Sar Ram Umitnase. He's got his, what they call literally, his right hand man. The Yemino. Hamiyuchadim Ish Al Tzva'o. Someone in charge, you know, the defense minister. B'chol Masha Melech Medaber. Harei Omer, the Sar Shabi Mino. So the king says to his right hand man, to his chief of staff, get it done. Kaviyachol. Is the Sar different than him? No, he's the guy who's going to do what the king told to do. It's not different. It's not distant. It's him. Right. I would just say we have no idea what any of this means. You know what I'm saying? It's words. That made it clear? That was perfect. Okay.
Thing I sending a messenger.
What's that? What's that? The question is the purpose of the messenger to distance? According to Rashi, the purpose of the messenger was to create distance between God and the Jewish people. Ibn Ezra, and when Ramban especially, says, no. The purpose of the messenger was to represent God in his midst. This malach here is not to create distance, but it is the tangible manifestation of God.
But he said, if it was me, I'd destroy you.
What?
The Ramban says it's an aspect of Hashem.
Yes.
It's a messenger of Hashem.
What's the difference?
It's a piece of him that can handle
it.
Hashem
has different names, and each name represents a different aspect of Hashem. This is a different aspect.
This is how Nitziv understood Ramban. This is how he understood what it meant.
Yeah, that's different from what
Ramban, but Nitziv is saying this is what Ramban means. So you could say it doesn't sound like what Ramban means. What? It doesn't. Okay. But the Nitziv is more authentic to the idea of the malach.
I think it's
what
both.
It means to have an angel.
I think it's all.
What?
I think it's all. I think it's a piece of Hashem that could handle B'nai Israel sinning.
Uh-huh.
It's a way to distance and bring closure.
You understand what you're struggling with?
Both.
This is what I wanted to. There's no. I'm sorry, but like sometimes this year it doesn't come to like a clear
sometimes.
Conclusion. No. The idea is to struggle with the issues that we're dealing with, to struggle with the nuance and the complexity. You can't say it's all an angel, because then where's God? You can't say it's all God, because then why won't He destroy them? You understand? So you see all the parshanim. From Rashi on the one hand, Rashi's the easiest in a sense. Because Rashi says, oh sure, clearly it's an angel, it just never happened. All good. It's all, God stayed in their midst. But that doesn't help us with the text. So then comes along Ibn Ezra and says, it's really an angel, but then it didn't happen in the Midbar. You understand what I'm saying? There's like a puzzle. And as soon as you put one piece down, a couple other pieces don't fit exactly. And so we struggle to try to come up with this complete picture, and it'll never be complete. We try to complete it to the best of our ability, to try to come to an understanding of what the mission of this malach was. And if you want to come to it, Yael, the end is, it's what's our mission too? To try to reach this level of perfection. Do we want God literally in our midst? Do we want an angel who's a manifestation of God in our midst? Do we want some angel who's the distinct separate thing from God? Or do we want the angel who's trying to distance us from God? Four different parshanim, all on the same pasuk. It all depends on what the purpose of the angel is. Our goal, I would say, is to work ourselves up the ladder. Right now, we are in distant angels. When do we get to the point where we have God's representative, His right-hand man? And maybe then that will bring us to the level where we get the angel who's a manifestation of God, because the ultimate goal is to get to the point where God Himself is in our midst. But we got to work on ourselves. Right, in all of our midst, because that day, on that day, that's what the Midrash says. That's exactly what the Midrash says. That he was then there. I'll end up with what we said. That angel, that godliness, will come back. It's up to us, as we say, to be worthy of that angel being in our midst. Stop here.